Good morning again to everyone. In case I missed you earlier, if you weren't in the room when we said hi at the beginning. Today is very much like this. Now, there's a few people, I'm sure, recognize what this is, yeah? Can somebody tell me how to get there? No. This is from a children's program that used to be on. I remember it back in the 70s, and you had puppets, you had interaction with adults in the program, and it was all supposed to be set in New York, and it was an educational program. But the thing is, at the end of each program, it was about an hour long, and at the end of each program, they would say, Sesame Street is part of the Children's Television Workshop, yeah? And then they said, it was brought to you today by the letters, and it would be something like C and Q. And all of the things that happened in the program was promoting those two letters. And then they said, and the number, whatever it would be. And today is a little bit like that. See, because today Hope Church is brought to you by the words yes and no. So, yes be yes, no be no. I have a question. Are you a yes or a blah, blah, or a no? Now, it's a serious question. You may snigger, you may laugh, but it is a serious question. Now, I would say it all comes down to what the question is. Yeah? Is everybody... no one's left, are they? Shut that door. Right. So, are you a... I don't know if you can hear that. I'm going to put the mic next to that. Okay. Are you a... Are you? Or... Ah! This floor is not level. Oh! It's not funny, Alan. Okay, you hold that.
Hold it.
Yeah. Okay, or are you a...
Yeah.
Do it again.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah? Or are you a... Okay. Well, it depends what the question is. But, yeah, you'll either fit into one of these, yeah? Okay, right. So it depends what the question is. Kids, now listen up, kids. I've got a question for you. Okay? Your mum or your dad approaches you and says, your room needs tidying. Okay? So what do you say? Anybody want to come out and answer? Anybody? Come out.
Yes.
Seema's going to say yes. What would you say? Would it be a yes, a no, or would you make an excuse by saying blah, blah, blah? Oh, this is... That is very good. I do... What would you say if your room needed tidying? What would you say to mum or dad if your room needed tidying? Would you say yes, no, or would you make an excuse? What would you say?
Blah, blah.
No! Honestly, parents, what are you allowing? Okay, all right, kids, what we're going to do, we're going to ask, we could get stuck here, I think. All right, now listen, these are my buttons, and you are pushing them, okay? Right. We're going to ask an adult question now, okay? So, gentlemen, if you're married and if your wife says, I've managed to get... Wait for it. I've managed to get two tickets to go to the cinema and see the new Bridget Jones film. Now, what would you say if you were a gentleman? What would you say if you were cornered by something like that? Would you? Anybody want to come forward and answer? Come on, gentlemen, be brave. Ah, Tim. It's a yes.
It was a yes. Absolutely yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Kids, one more question and then we're going to move on. Okay. All right. So, mum or dad, it's in the summer, so it's pouring with rain. No, it's a nice day in the summer. So, it's one of those few days that is really beautiful. And you're either in the garden or you're at the park, you're playing with friends. And then mum or dad says, you're going to have to come in for lunch. So, what do you say?
I would say no.
You would say no.
I would say no.
There's not many yeses.
I would say yes.
You would. Well done, Malachi. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Right. Kids, I would like you to actually come out again because we're going to do something. I want to ask you to help me with something. So if you'd like to gather around the table, the long table. Thank you. Right. I don't know whether you've noticed, but we have an incomplete poster in the room. You've seen it. Well done. So what I want is I need your help. I really do need some help. So whilst we carry on with the talk, I wondered whether you could do some really creative artwork for me. Because my idea is this. What we need is each one of you to take one of these. We've got some colouring implements over here. I want you to be as creative as you possibly can with colouring in your two thumbs up. Okay? Now, you can put anything, any kind of patterns, any kind of colours. You can put birthmarks on there if you want. I don't mind. You can put rings on the fingers, anything. You know, just explore your imagination. And then what we will do, we will cut them out at the end of the service and we will put them on the poster. Now, the idea is we do something along the lines of that. You got it? You can do this. So we do something like that, but you colour two of them in, and then what we will do is we will apply them to the poster. And one side of the poster will be all thumbs up, which is a yes, and the other side will be for no. Yeah, so we want to fill all of the two blank spaces with as many thumbs that are up and down in as many colours as possible. Can you do this?
Yes.
You sure? I want a bigger yes. Come on.
Yes!
That's it. All right, guys. We handed them up? Yes. So, guys, going to leave that to you. Right, whilst they are cooking that for us, it would be great if we could have this light out. Thank you. And tossing.
You're full of beans and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Says
Says me!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
I double dare you!
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
I double dog dare you!
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right.
I'm going.
Flick's spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
This is next.
Thank you. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I don't... No, wait. Take the flagpole out of it. Take that out of it. I'm saying the interaction in what is going on there. I don't know whether you noticed it. It seemed apparent to me that there's one person in particular that's driving something here. Yeah? And the other guy is being swept along by it. He's being manipulated to do something he doesn't want to do. So, yes and no. Oh, this is what we want. This is the passage that it comes from. And this is in Matthew. And this is what Jesus says. Now, this is during the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says. Again, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break an oath, your oath, but fulfill it to the Lord. But fulfill to the Lord the oaths you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Have any of you ever sworn an oath by heaven? Have any of you ever sworn an oath by the earth or by Jerusalem? So is this apparent? Does this apply to us? Because Jesus is very clear that you shouldn't be doing these things. But obviously that doesn't really come down to you or I then, if we're not identified here in this. Is that what it's really about? See, what this is about is spin. When we spin something. And we do it so that we can manipulate someone else to get our own way. And this is what he's getting at. Back in the time when Jesus is sharing this, swear by those things, and there would be a lot of, to make someone seem very genuine, very forthright, they would use some oath that they would put to it. It would be like me saying to you now God is watching, you know, and you bring all of the weight of that in to what you want to say or do. The enemy is incredibly good at this, really good at this. And the trouble is, we are good at this as well. The enemy says things like, did God really say not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? Or he'll go on and say, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Or he'll take Christ to the top of the temple and say, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. He's manipulating something. He's pushing his agenda. Now, unfortunately, we do this among ourselves. We will embellish something. We will put more emphasis on something to ask somebody to do what we want them to do. Now, what if we looked at the same passage in the Message? And don't say anything you don't mean. It's a good start, isn't it? Don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you make a smoke screen of pious talk saying, I'll pray for you, and never doing it. Anybody? Just me? Is it just... I've done that loads of times. Forgot about it or just never got there. Or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make, we don't make, our words any more true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. Now just think about when we do that. It can be how I say something to you, or I put weight on you by the way I ask you something. Or it could be the way that my body language is. Supposing I raise an eyebrow and you say what you're going to do, and I, really? Yeah? Because these things are important, how we treat one another. A little while ago, about a month ago, we looked at honouring each other. And this is very much along the same lines. This is all very much how we honour one another. I've got a very short passage from The Divine Conspiracy where they're talking about this. And Dallas Willard says, but Jesus goes right to the heart of where people swear oaths. He knew that they do it to impress others with their sincerity and reliability, and thus gain acceptance of what they are saying and what they want. It is a method of getting their way. They are declaring some promise or purpose or some point of information or knowledge dear to them. They want their hearers to accept what they say and do what they want. So they say, by God, or God knows, to lend weight to their words and presence. It is simply a device of manipulation designed to override the judgment and will of one another. I've got lost my place. Judgment and will of ones they are focusing upon to push them aside rather than respecting them and leaving their decision and action strictly to them. It's where we go wrong, where we push people into something they may not want to do. Just like the kid with the flagpole. You get into something and then the momentum's with the other person. Now just weigh that for a few minutes and just think, how do we communicate with one another? How do we honour one another in what we ask of each other? Do I respect you enough to see what's good for you and enable you to achieve that? Is that what I'm looking for? Or am I looking and thinking, I really need you to do this because that's what I want? So, we have a choice. The Sermon on the Mount. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about builders. At the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, there's about three chapters in Matthew, 5, 6, and 7, where this collection of teachings come about. And Jesus says at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, those that practice these laws and encourage others to do the same, it's good. And at the end, he says, those that hear these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise builder. And he says, the builder set his house on a rock. In another passage in one of the other Gospels, it says he dug down deep, or she dug down deep, to find the bedrock to build on. And then when the storm came, because it comes to all of us, the storms. He said when the storm came, it stood because of the foundation that it was built on. The other way, he says, if you hear these words and do not apply them, you're like a foolish builder, building your house on sand. Sand moves. It's blown by the wind, it's pushed by the tide. It's a compromised stone. And He says it's like you build a house on that. When the storm comes, and it will come, it will bring the house down because there is no foundation. So he says, choose. What kind of a builder are you? See, we can talk about perpetual transformation, but we don't have to apply it. No one's making anybody apply it. No one's saying anybody should be aware of who we could be. It's up to you. It's up to me. I have to choose. You have to choose. So I want to leave that with you this morning. I'm hoping that our artwork is nearly done. I'm hoping that we can soon finish our poster. I don't know how that's going to go. Father, we pray that you challenge us, Lord. Challenge us in our day-to-day living where things really matter. Not in how we can perform in church, not in how we can be to one another here, Lord, but where things really matter. Lord, help us to be true to you. Help us to be true to the work you're doing within us. Lord, may we be a people that do seek you to transform us. And may we be a people, Lord, that really do allow you to transform us from within. Amen.